first, the near post. Get there first, don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first, if it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.
Welcome to the near post. My name's Eamon Flanagan. With me in the studio today is Arif and Nicole. How are you guys?
How you doing?
Good, Nicole, you all right?
Oh, I'm excellent, always am.
That's good. Now, we've got a busy show.
We do have a busy show.
What's on?
Well, in the first half, we sort of focus on the big Australian game and international football. As usual, we've got Arif's big issue. We've got the A-League. We've got an interview with the Matildas star, Heather Garriock. Melbourne Victory's CEO, Gary Cole, and commercial manager, Jeff Miles. We have a couple of quiz questions and a chance to win, well, another Mariners signed ball.
Another ball?
Yeah, another ball.
Fantastic.
Lucky, yeah. In the Canberra part of the show, we'll talk to Capital Football CEO, Heather Reid, and we'll also talk about some of the local news that's out there.
Okay, we always like to dedicate this show, and today I'm going to dedicate this show to everybody called Heather. We've got lots of Heathers on the show, so if you're out there and you're called Heather, this show is for you.
Fantastic.
Excellent. So this second Mariners ball that I mentioned, for your chance to win it, SMS us on 0432 250 759, and it's the first person to SMS us on that number. So again, that number is 0432 250 759.
And as soon as we get an SMS, we'll announce who the winner is. Now, unfortunately, John Aloisi hadn't signed with the club. Or he was so worn out after signing with the club that he didn't have time to sign the ball. So his name isn't on the list.
But not on this ball either.
Not on this ball either. He did a batch job. It was a batch job. I mean, he took a long time to sign his name on the contract.
He did. He missed half the season, didn't he?
So the number is 0432 250 759.
Excellent. So if you miss this podcast or this radio show, or if you've missed ones in previous weeks, you can always catch it on the blogspot. So www.nearpost.blogspot.com. So if you miss it out, check out that.
Check it out. Now we have a, I guess there's also another award up for grabs, the Channel 7 Anti-Football Awards. And we're very pro-football here, but occasionally in Australia, and I don't know whether you know this, but there's been one or two people in the media over the years who haven't exactly promoted our game.
Name and shame them.
I know you find that hard to believe. So on my little blog, I've been running the Channel 7 Anti-Football Awards, a local competition and a national competition. And why is it called Channel 7 Anti-Football Awards? Because you may or may not know that sometimes... Oh, Arif, do you know?
I don't think so.
No, well, some time ago, in about 1997, Channel 7 bought the rights to football.
Yes.
With the express desire of not showing the NSL football. So, and there was a court case recently where it came out where basically Channel 7 said, yeah, we bought it to suppress the game. So, you know, Channel 7 Anti-Football Awards are here to stay. Anyway, we have a local entry, and my local entry goes to ABC journalist Tim Gavel. Now, Tim Gavel reads, he's a great sports journalist, and I've spoken to him many times, he's a really nice guy, but I think he does a bad job by the local football soccer community. So, and one of his examples, and the nomination for this award for Tim is, when he reads out the news, the sports stories on every morning at 7 o'clock on the news, there's normally about 7 or 8 stories, okay? You can guarantee that one of the, you know, football is obviously 1, 2, 3, 4 top codes in the country. You guarantee we're always 7th or 8th on the list. You might not be too bothered about that, fair enough. But he also always reads out the English football results before the Australian. Now, I think that's on Australian, and I think it wouldn't happen in rugby union. Imagine reading out the rugby union scores from England before the Australian. I mean, it was just, yeah, it's laughable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Imagine reading out the Raiders or the rugby league from England before you read out the local Australian rugby league scores. And lastly, I guess, sometimes he doesn't even read out the A-League scores. So to me, it's not on. So Tim, you're our big nominee, and if you don't agree, Tim, well, we look forward to having you on the show to come and discuss it.
Lift your game, Tim. Okay. Lift your game.
And that's Happy Christmas from our text message. Is that a winner, Nicole?
If I can work your phone, then it will be.
Okay, all right. Well, while you're trying to work out the phone with your new iPod technical skills that you have there, we've got a quiz question. The quiz question this week is, name four Australians playing in the Italian leagues. Okay, so four Italians, four Australians playing in the Italian league, and you don't have to send us an answer. You just have to think about it over your, well, if you're having pasta tonight, have a think about it over your pasta. And, you know,
or your pizza.
Or your pizza, yeah, or your spag bol, whatever you're having. Okay, and all right, so what's coming up now?
Well, we've got a Reef's big issue next, but I should just comment that we've had a winner, in the tournament. We have. Lovely old chap by the name of Jason, who's just SMS'd us with just his name. Don't know where he lives, don't know if he plays, what he's doing with himself. But
He sounds like a player.
Yeah, well, he's just won a Mariner signed ball, so excellent.
Well,
we'll be in contact with you after the show, Jason.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Good on you, Jason. Okay, so what's the...
Next up, Arif's big issue, so what is it?
Okay, this week's big issue. This week, we thought we'd change things up a little bit. We don't actually have a big issue. It's coming to the end of the year. Christmas is just around the corner. So I thought that this week, what better time to have a A-League Team of the Year award?
Okay, well, let's get into it. Who are you got
for A-League? Arif's A-League Team of the Year.
Yeah.
I have put together a list of...
Otherwise known as Arif Pim Hussein.
Yep. If that's what you want to call me, yes. But I think that if Pim chose this team to walk out on the 3rd of February, I think you'd do all right. Anyway, in goal, I have Danny Vukovic.
You're joking. What about Ante Kovic?
Oh, come on. I think Danny Vukovic has been the best goalie of the year. Look.
He's a young one, though.
He's young, but yeah. he's shown that... He's 22. Come on. That's not young.
Okay, I'm going to give you that one. I'll let you off easy on that one. Okay, who's next?
Okay. In the centre of defence, I would have Mark Milligan.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Yeah, Mark Milligan and...
Obviously, you weren't watching Sydney on the weekend, were you?
Look, he didn't have the best game on the weekend, but...
You're still going to pick him. It's a big but.
He's probably the best central defender in the A-League.
Okay.
And wait for it, Alex Wilkinson.
You're joking. I haven't even heard of him. Who's he playing? What about Craig Moore?
Craig Moore, yeah.
Who's he play for?
Alex Wilkinson. He's the Mariners.
You should know that.
Central Coast Mariners.
Oh, yeah, the strikers.
They are top of the league, yeah. I'm the top, hey? Defenders, who wants them?
Yeah, I am one, but...
I think that Craig Moore, he's a good player, but he's getting on.
What about Steve Labor, otherwise known as Steve Big Book? Carrying a bit away.
I think Steve Labor, good player, technical player, but just slow.
Okay, so you've got Wilkinson and Milligan.
Wilkinson, Milligan in the middle.
I assume you're going to play a couple of fullbacks.
I'm playing a 4-4-2.
4-4-2, you're so traditional, Irish. Okay. You're Dutch here, mate. 4-3-3, haven't you heard? Didn't you learn anything from Hiddink?
All right,
go on. 4-4-2 it is.
Okay, 4-4-2 it is. Okay, on the left, we'll go to the left first. Yeah. I'd have Dean Heffernan on the left.
Oh, are you joking?
What about... He's from Central Coast. He's awesome.
Nikolai Topol-Stanley. Oli Roo, man on the rise, super, creates goals.
Yeah, but... I still have a couple of question marks on top of Stanley's defensive abilities.
You're dreaming.
And but going forward, Dean Heffernan, you can't go past Dean.
Okay, go on.
On the right, we have a bit of a problem in the A-League. There aren't that many good right-sided fullbacks. But if I had to choose, I'd go with Richard Aligich.
Good. His sister's in the Matildas, and she's amazing too. So
that has nothing to do with it, Nicole.
Yeah, well, if he's related to Di Aligich, then he must be good.
Okay, so Hook Soo So hasn't from Queensland Raw, a Korean. He hasn't got a sister in Matildas, so he doesn't get in the team.
I'm just saying that if his sister's amazing, then he's got to have something's got to have rubbed off onto him.
Okay. It's true. But I'm just going to say this here. But I think on the right side of the defence, we have a problem in the Australian team as well, the Socceroos. So anyway,
Jade North. Okay, can you run across your front four? Your four in the midfield.
Four in midfield. I'll go all in once. From the right.
Yep.
I'd have Robbie Cruz.
Yep.
Great young talent.
Yep.
In the centre, I'd have Nathan Burns and Felipe. And on the left, I'd have Lucas Pantelis.
It's a blooming poser's midfield. There's no one in there who's going to kick any butt, is there?
It's all right. So the defence is for.
It's a soft ass. Felipe dancing around like a Brazilian with Nathan Beautiful Burns alongside and Robbie Beautiful Cruz. I mean, what's going on? Where's the grunt?
We're just going to score more goals than the other team. Amen.
It's a beautiful wishy-washy midfield if ever I saw one. I think you need to put a bit of Stewie Musilak or Milo Jedinak in there. Hey?
I did think of a defensive midfielder, but my teams are going to attack.
Who's going to tackle?
That's what the defence is for.
Okay, forwards.
Two forwards. I've gone with
In your 4-4-2.
I've gone with Joel Griffith, and I've gone with John Aloisi.
I'm loving a good representation from Central Coast.
Well, they are top of the
table. They are top of the table, and they probably are the best team in the league. So
yeah,
I mean, your forwards are good. Brewster team might. Aloisi, I mean, it's,
Aloisi, I just look back on the game last week, and the way he dominated that game, he had to have a spot on my team.
Okay, thanks very much, Harry, for your superb team.
No worries.
From Perth glory to the Central Coast, from Melbourne victory, hear the Queensland roar. This is the Near Post, going coast to coast.
The Near Post, get there first if it's for football news that you thirst. The Near Post, get there first.
And coming up right now, we have an interview with Matilda star Heather Garriott.
Star Heather Garriott. How are you, Heather?
Good, thanks, yourself?
Not too bad. And how did you enjoy the game on the weekend against the Queensland Roar?
Yeah, it was fantastic. A good experience to play at the Sydney Football Stadium. It's always good playing at home. And yeah, it was great to see the crowd rolling in just towards the second half or so.
You know, you've had three games now in the Women's A-League Challenge. And so what do you think are your thoughts then for the coming, if the A-League Women's League gets up, based on what you've seen so far?
Yeah, I think the three games were the start of something very exciting. I think in 2008, the Women's National League is really important for us at the end of 2008. And I think it was a good foundation for the last three games. And I think it was certainly entertaining. So it was a good taste for the general public, I think.
And for yourself, Heather, obviously you played with in America with Aaron Dyke the last couple of years. Will you be heading back overseas, do you think, or what's your own plans?
Possibly. I've had a few offers to go overseas, but at the moment I'm just focusing on the rest of the year and trying to look at things career-wise and see what's best for me for next year. We're in a Boys Premier League competition next year in Sydney, so that's enticing to stay in Australia, but overseas is definitely great, and you get good experience and different things like that. But I'll see how it goes. I've got a few decisions to make over the next few weeks.
Yeah, okay. And I know you've got your own academy going. How's things going with the academy?
Yeah, we're in our last week of the academy this week. It's been tough this year. I've had to rely on quite a lot of coaches. My dad helped me out quite a lot. He's a coach as well. So we're in the last week. Hopefully I can get it going bigger and better for next year, so that we don't have too much going on. So what I said before about career, that's what I was sort of talking about. I want my football academy to really explode, especially for women's football in this country.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it must be difficult juggling the academy and also the increasing football that you're going to be playing across Asia.
Yeah, exactly. But it's been great, and I guess it works off each other, to be honest. So whilst I'm playing football for Australia, I'm running a football academy to try and have future Matildas playing for Australia.
Now, what are your plans with the Matildas that you know of in 2008?
Probably our major competition is our Asia Cup in mid-year. We're possibly going overseas earlier on just to prepare for that, for the games. But I think it's going to be, there's a few young players coming through, and I think that's going to challenge us older players for positions. So it's going to be an interesting year, and it's still going to be exciting as well with the Asia Cup. Hopefully we can win it this time around.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic. And you're not that old yet, either.
Yeah, I know. My birthday's this week, so more of experience, I would say.
Yeah. And very briefly, what was your particular memory of the World Cup?
Besides saying the whole thing, because it was such an amazing experience, I'd probably have to say the Canada game, when we got through in the last few minutes of the game. yeah, it's different personalities reacting in different ways. I was shocked. I remember thinking the last 5 minutes of the game, how badly I wanted to go through to the quarters and how that was our goal. And I just think the Canada game was fantastic, and we really deserved to get through. And then the Brazil game was unfortunate, but I think it was a good learning curve. So the whole World Cup pretty much was fantastic. It was brilliant.
And you certainly brought a lot of joy to Australian football fans this year, Heather, and we really enjoyed your performances. So good luck, and we'll follow your fortunes in the coming year. Thanks very much.
Thanks for that. Thanks for having me.
Hi, I'm Lydia Williams from the Matildas. You're listening to 2XX 98.3 FM Community Radio. If you go into the near post, get there first.
And that was Heather Garriock of the Matildas. Lovely to hear from her and how she's putting back into the world game. So it's I'm happy she's setting up that academy and trying to develop the young players coming through.
Yeah, I guess it's a big ask. Or, you know, if you're playing Matildas and you're going away for a number of weeks or months at a time, and then you're still trying to run your business, you know, it's a big challenge. And I think she mentioned that there, that she's finding it more difficult. She's played overseas for a couple of years in America, and she's sort of thinking twice about whether to go back again.
It'd be a shame to lose her to an overseas competition. I mean, hopefully introduction of Women's A-League next year is enough to keep her here and with her family and with her business.
Yeah, let's hope so. And with Nicole, any thoughts on you getting into the A-League setup? You're thinking of playing next year?
I'm thinking I'm going to stay with Bocconi next year, so I'll train hard with Bocconin, and I guess my focus is going to be more university. And when trials for the A-League side for Canberra come up, then I'll put my hand up for that. But, yeah, as I said, it's more uni and get through that at the moment.
Get focused there. Okay, yeah. Any what's the next text messages if people want to text us?
Yeah, people want to text us, SMS us on 0432 250 759. That's 0432 250 759. You've missed your chance on the Mariners ball, but if you'd like to just give us any comments, tell us we're good, tell us we're rubbish, whatever.
Feel free to tell us who would be in your A-League team of the year.
Yep, who we've missed out on, who's rubbish and shouldn't be in the team.
Or who Arif's missed out on.
Yeah, and if you miss the radio show, any of the past ones, you can always check it out at the blog, which is at www.nearpost.blogspot.com. That's www.nearpost.blogspot.com.
Okay, still to come, we've got the A-League wrap. We've got our interview in the camera section with the CEO of Capital Football, Heather Reid, and all the local football wrap. Coming up next, we've got Melbourne Victory. Their draw for the Asian Cup has been announced, and this is what one Melbourne fan thinks of his team this season.
It's just excruciating to watch. It's just excruciating to watch. It's just excruciating to watch.
So I don't think we need to comment any more on that. But this interview is with Jeff Miles, the CEO of Melbourne Victory, Jeff Miles. And the CEO is Gary Cole and the commercial manager is Jeff Miles. And they're talking about the draw that was announced for the Asian Champions League yesterday.
Gary, what do you know about any of these teams?
Not too much about Chonburi from Thailand. Gambar Saka, obviously quite a big name in Japanese football, led the J-League for a fair part of this year. They've got a couple of Brazilians, like most of the J-League teams, and Endo and Kaji from the 2006 World Cup squad. They've also won the right to represent Japan in the Pan Pacific Championships against an A-League team and LA Galaxy in February. Chunnan Dragons got into this competition via way of their knockout competition, their FA Cup. They finished 10th in the league, and hopefully that means that they're not one of the stronger Korean sides, which would obviously improve our chances through the group phase.
Will there be any games against the Olyroos, or maybe even the Socceroos, to keep you fit?
Yeah, that's been mentioned, and is a bit of a work in progress through the high-performance unit, but we've certainly expressed our interest in doing that, yeah. We know, because we have to provide accommodation and training facilities, that the weekend following the 12th is actually Grand Prix weekend here, so accommodations are the minimum. So through the AFC World Sports Group and with Adelaide's consent, these are all champion clubs. I don't think there is such a thing in this competition as an easy draw. The fact that we're sitting here looking at going from Thailand, where it's going to be, 33 and 80-90% humidity to Japan and Korea, where it could be as low as 2 or 4 degrees and freezing our socks off. I don't think there is an easy draw. We watched Sydney play in Shanghai, which was interesting. I think we'll actually match up quite well. The Japanese, in particular, are very technical. They're very quick. And the way we play the game, I think, matches up reasonably well there, as Sydney showed. The Koreans as well, perhaps not quite as technically gifted as the Japanese, but certainly play the game with plenty of grunt. For the knockout phase, we can strengthen the squad. There are some fairly complicated rules that may or may not come into the salary cap, depending on when players would be signed. The one thing that has to happen is that all players that are nominated in the squad have to have a minimum 6-month contract, and it can't be changed during the 6 months or first group, part of the group phase, I should say.
Can Melbourne make money out of this Asian Champions League campaign?
The commercial outcomes are a little bit uncertain. What we do know is that, like all the Australian clubs, we have an opportunity for our 3 home games. We get the gate, and there is an opportunity naturally there, our 3 home games at Telstra Dome, to benefit from that.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side, the costs are pretty high in terms of our away games, our 3 games, and we found in talking to Adelaide and Sydney last year that the allowances from the AFC for the away leagues weren't sufficient to cover tremendous opportunity to build the profile for Melbourne and Victoria. And we're really optimistic about great crowds here, and I think we saw last year that Sydney, their biggest gate of the year in one of their home games against your Royal Reds, and no doubt with the support from the Victorian public here and our great membership base, we just think there'll be an enormous amount of interest in these games and very big crowds at the Telstra Dome.
Sounds like Melbourne have got a pretty tough task ahead of them. Just for interest's sake, Adelaide has a Chinese team, a Korean team, and a Vietnamese team in their squad, in their group.
So. That's the who's that though? Pohang Steelers from Korea, Changchun Yatai from China, and Bing Duong.
Duong.
That's pretty good pronunciation for an Irishman.
Well, you don't know whether I got them right, do you?
Sounded pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks very much, Nicole.
You're welcome.
I'm going very Asian at the moment. You know, I'm learning all about Asia through football. Okay, what's coming up next? We have the A-League wrap.
Who's top of the A-League and who's coming last? The near post, get there fast.
So, A-League wrap, Arif, what's going on?
Well, there's only one game this week, so what I thought I'd do is we thought we'd just have a bit of a wrap of last week's round.
Excellent, let's get into it.
Round 17. Round 17 started with Wellington Phoenix versus Queensland Roar.
A very exciting game.
It was a pretty good game. Ended 1-1 in Wellington. And Wellington, they're a pretty handy side at home. Not very handy away from home, but at home, they'll take points off you. So, 1-1.
Excellent result for Wellington, considering Queensland's at the top of the ladder. And
yes, absolutely.
I'm very happy for that, considering it's increasing the gap between the Central Coast and Queensland.
Indeed, and
the top of the ladder.
And Shane Smeltz, where's he been all this time?
He's been in England.
Has he?
Yeah, doing whatever they do in England.
Well, I'm glad he's back and
scoring goals. Did you see the Melbourne game?
I did see the Melbourne game,
Did
yes.
you see that goal?
I did.
Fantastic. Joel Griffiths. The ball, if you saw it on the TV, for those that have Fox, the ball was free kick outside the box and it bent outside of the post and came right back. It was absolutely fantastic, wasn't it?
Oh, it was great. It was,
David Beckham at your heart.
Absolutely.
Beckham's got nothing on
exactly,
Joel Griffiths.
Exactly. And Joel Griffiths in my team of the year.
Arif, you're on fire. And not only that, he scored 2 goals. He was outstanding, wasn't he?
He did. I thought he played.
What was the result in that game?
3-1 to the Jets. They flogged Melbourne at home. Melbourne really had to win that game to stay in the...
Melbourne are gone, aren't they?
I think so, yeah.
They're nothing.
I mean, they're just nothing. You know.
Yeah,
they've got no strategy. Ernie Merrick, what's he doing?
Do you think he's in trouble? Knows,
champions to chumps.
Do you think Ernie Merrick's in trouble?
Well, I mean, they've got a massive supporter base, and what has he done? I mean, I know he won the league last year, but the first season they were garbage, and this season, really, it's only because we've been expecting them to keep improving or perform that, but really...
All season,
Dreadful.
I can't think of one good performance that they put in.
Maybe the Mariners away, I think, when they played against 10, but no, you're right. And how are they going to represent Australia in the Champions League? I'm worried. I do think he's in a bit of trouble. But
should we talk about the most important match of the round?
We should. Who would that be?
Adelaide United and Central Coast Mariners.
Oh, the Mariners. We love the Mariners, Nicole, don't we?
I'm a Central Coast Mariner faithful, so.
Okay. Yes.
Now, what was the result?
That was.
You mean you're an absolutely fanatical fan, and you don't happen to know the result?
No, I know the result.
I just
want you to say it out loud.
It was against my team as well.
Exactly.
It was against Adelaide, and Adelaide lost at home 2-1 to the Mariners.
They did have a lot of players out.
They did have a lot of players out.
Excuses.
But, you know, I think.
Johnny Aloisi looking good?
Yeah.
Johnny Aloisi, he played magnificently in that game. He's made a big difference. I had my doubts about John Aloisi coming back. I thought he might be, you know, just coming back, a bit of a Jardel, you know.
Yeah.
Come back, wind down the career. But no, he's playing very well.
No.
I think it's good because there was some talk earlier in a couple of months ago about Petrovsky lacking a partner up front. So it's good to have Aloisi there, and he's finally in the back of the net. This is his second goal in as many games.
Yeah, four goals this season.
And Paul Agostino also scored for that one, in that game. So, you know, a couple of big-name Aussies who've come back from overseas getting on the score sheet.
Okay, and
it's a good thing for Pim, I think.
So finally, this week, we mentioned all the games, haven't we? I
think we missed
Sydney FC Sydney got FC. Smashed.
Oh, Sydney FC got smashed. 4-2.
Yeah.
One of their own fans.
Oh, the Mariners fans are happy. Okay, very briefly, just this game this weekend.
This game this weekend, it's the rescheduled game from round...
The smashed Sydney side versus the tabletop in Central Coast Mariners. Crucial game for both teams.
Crucial game.
Mariners win, their 6 points ahead and 1 foot in Asia.
Absolutely. I think they've already got 1 foot in Asia, but yes, they're just about there. It should be a good game. The local derby atmosphere, local rivalry.
And your prediction?
My prediction, I think that the Mariners will win this one. 2-1 to the Mariners.
I agree. It's going to be a victory. I think about 3-0, I'm going to say. I think it's going to be a bit of a carnival atmosphere in the lead up to Christmas.
And I think John Aloisi playing the way he played last week, I think that Central Coast could go all the way.
Okay, and I think the Coast will win. So that wraps up the show. Stay with us for the rest of the camera section coming up after this.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.
And on the near post, Eamon Flanagan, I am, and Arif and Nicole are here in the studio for the camera section of the show, or just more football, really. We've got Heather Reid, the Chief Executive Officer of Capital Football, joining us in just a moment, and we'll have all the local football news. Nicole, what have you been doing with the Belconnen? You've been out there running around with the Belconnen. What is it, the Belconnen Academy?
The Blue Devils Academy.
The Blue Devils Academy. So what have you been doing out there?
Oh, running around with all the little tackers, the 8 and 9 year olds. It's been really good. We had a big turnout. They run on a Wednesday night. We kick off at 6 o'clock, and there was about 80 kids that turned up last Wednesday. And
that's fantastic.
A couple of the other Belconnen women, we looked after a couple of young tackers, and the age groups from about 8 or 9, or to under fives up through at about under 15. So it was a good turnout. The kids looked really professional in their blue and the light blue and navy blue. So yeah.
Okay, so how long does the academy go for?
Well, we've got obviously this Wednesday coming up, and then 4 weeks next year. So hopefully we'll see a big change in the kids' talent and their technique and their tactics. So.
And how old are the children?
Well, the kids I'm looking after are 8 and 9.
8 and 9, beautiful. Yeah. And what are the sort of challenges that 8 and 9 year olds give to somebody as experienced as yourself?
Well, I can sort of forget all the drills and stuff I did when I was
age. That's what your coaches have said about you as well. But anyway, so if there's a plan. Is there's a little routine that you take them through each week?
Yeah. Last week we focused on passing and receiving. This week coming up, we're focusing on defense. So it's a challenge trying to, I guess, put some of the techniques and the tactics we have in senior football and put it in a form that kids are going to enjoy.
Okay, and have you been enjoying it?
Oh, it's been great. I love the little kids and running around and playing games with them. And so, yeah, it's good.
And boys and girls or just girls?
Boys and girls, but majorly boys. I'd like to see a couple more girls involved. So if you're listening and you want to play some football over the off-season, contact info@bluedevilsfc.com.au.
And yeah,
I think that's right. Or just Google Blue Devils.
Yeah, and where is it on? Which oval?
At UC Oval. So good grass too.
Yeah, great grass. Mm. And so, would you like to do? Have you done some of that sort of work in the past, or
Coaching the youngsters? Yeah, bit with Telstra Football Anytime, which is something that's run through FFA and Capital Football. So it's good to get Belcon in on their own little academy side.
Yeah, well, there's lots of academies coming or spreading across Canberra. It's good to see.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Gail, and I met my man playing football. We listen to The Near Post on 2XX.
And you're listening to The Near Post on 98.3 FM, 2XX, Canberra's community radio. I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by Chief Executive Officer of Capital Football, Heather Reid. How are you, Heather?
I'm not too bad, Eamon. It's great to be here at 2XX.
And we have to congratulate you, Heather, on your award last week, picked up from the FFA on the Hall of Fame. You're inducted as a member of the Roll of Honour, a distinguished section. Is that correct? How I've got it?
Yeah, that's correct. They have three categories in the Hall of Fame: the Hall of Honour and the Roll of Honour, and then the third category is for the sort of I don't worry about those, but there's three main categories, and within each of the categories, they recognise a player and a non-player. So I was inducted into the second category, the Hall of Honour, and the Roll of Honour for outstanding contribution.
Fantastic, and I think Alex Tobin and Elisa Tan were some of the other people.
Alex Tobin and is it Doug Rennie from? Not Doug Rennie, the referee from Western Australia.
Is it Laurie Rennie?
No.
Okay, we won't go
there.
That's
going to come to me later.
Yeah.
But Alex Tobin was in the main hall in the main category, and then myself and Anissa Tan in the Roll of Honour. Yeah.
Okay.
And there are other people who had played for Australia and who'd managed Australia. And Trixie Tagg was one of those who was also recognised last week for her involvement as being a manager of Australian women's teams and New South Wales teams too.
We'll find out what you did to deserve that award a little bit later on. But for the moment, we'll just talk a little bit about your role and what's happening at Capital Football. A big year as ever in football and across Australia, and also a big year for Capital Football. What are the main things that you'd say we've achieved in Capital Football this year?
Well, it's certainly been another year of consolidation, and it's also been a year of growth. We reached record numbers of participants right across the board with 11,700 juniors, just over 1,100 senior female players. I think we had about 74 women's teams, which is phenomenal from the time when I first started, and we had 10 teams in Canberra nearly 30 years ago to 74. That's a really big step. And, of course, increased numbers in the men's competition. Probably one of the most outstanding things for the men's league has been the restructure and revamping of the Premier League, and I think from all accounts that's been extremely successful. We took some brave decisions at the end of 2006 to basically make it a 9-team competition, and some of the more traditional clubs like Gungahlin and Juventus and Cooma and White Eagles were not included in the new structure. And the opportunity came around for the Tuggeranong Uniteds, Woden Valley and Queanbeyan City to come into the Premier League, all having to have a Premier League team plus a pathway team and an under-18s. And I think that's gone very well.
Are you expecting continued growth in the women's and in the men's section, given the growth of the game?
Absolutely, subject to the situation with the water restrictions. I find it quite interesting that ActuAGL has just decided to relax the water restrictions a little bit at the moment and allow people to water their lawns on a Sunday.
I'm not going to do mine, Heather. No way.
Well, we haven't got anywhere. I'll carry my
bucket along to the local football field and chuck it on there.
I mean, I do find that a little bit surprising because, it's not just sport. There's a whole lot of areas that rely on outdoor facilities and we're being asked to put in place some emergency plans for 2008, expecting that if stage four restrictions come in, we could be down to using 114 fields across Canberra when we currently use 150. So I'm hoping that with the recent rain and the delay in bringing in stage four water restrictions, we'll be pretty ripe for next year, and we will be able to sustain the current levels, if not increase the number of teams and individuals playing the sport across the whole of the ACT.
So if it doesn't rain, do we have significant problems?
I don't think so at the moment. I mean, I think from what I've seen around Canberra, the grounds are actually looking pretty good in most cases.
Yeah,
If we continue to get a bit of rain between now and the season starting in March and April, I think we'll be okay. Traditionally, you know, the contractors don't water the grounds very much in winter anyway. And given the state that some of the grounds were in this winter, you know, we were playing on some pretty appalling fields. But without much choice of alternative. And I think even just having a kick around in the social summer, six-a-side on Sundays.
It's almost like the hour, yes.
It's very, very nice at Mawson, but then I hear areas of Wanneyassa are pretty bad. But, you know, I'm hoping that cluster grounds like Warramanga and Wanneyassa and Dixon and Kayleen are actually getting a reasonable amount of attention over the summer, so they're in better condition for when we start next March, April.
Okay, well, let's hope it keeps raining. We've had you've had the Canberra, the review, the Academy review,
mm-hmm.
Has come through. What have been the positive outcomes or that have come from that review?
This was a very timely review because we've had the Academy in operation now for 3 years. And
we should just say the Academies are basically the boys and girls team from 12 through to
17. 17 for the girls, yeah. It's the Capital Football Academy, so it's development and playing squads from under 12s to 15s for the boys and 12s to 17s for the girls, about 7 or 8 squads. And it was timely also because the Football Federation Australia released its national development plan, which has a number of significant proposals in there for the development of the game across all areas, from small-sided games for juniors, which I have to say we're a long way ahead of many other states in having rolled out major changes to the junior game over the last few years, right through to the re-establishment of a National Youth League for men and a National Women's League, which we would welcome here, both the Youth League and the Women's League, of course. But, I mean, some of the key findings in the review clearly addressed issues about the board and Capital Football needing to resolve the whole philosophy and the aim of the Academy program for the next 3 years, given the new national environment and a few other factors.
I know there's been some difficulties, I guess, with some of the Academy teams not getting enough games. Is that going to be...
That was one of the issues that was highlighted. That came out through a number of the surveys, especially with the boys' teams. With the introduction of a new Premier League structure this year, the board wasn't really able to, force Premier League clubs to accommodate regular competition for the boys 14s and 15s and also the ACTAS team.
That's got to be frustrating. Remembering when I was 15, all I wanted to do was play football. And if you picked in the best squad and you're not playing, I mean, that's got to be frustrating.
They were playing, but they weren't as part of the formalised competition. And that will be rectified next year. The board has already just signed off on the fact that ACTAS men will play in the Premier Pathway League as the 10th team. They will play 4 points as a club in their own right and entitled to go for the trophy. They'll also start the season in the Federation Cup.
So the clubs are supportive of that, are they?
The clubs are supportive of that. The clubs weren't so supportive of the ACTAS boys or men going into the Premier League, which is what ACTAS wanted, but we had a number of reservations about that. Primarily the fact that they're mainly 15, 16-year-old lads and playing in the Premier League straight up was going to be a pretty tall order, and there were some risk management issues. Plus, we'd also settled the composition of the Premier League itself, and we have said quite clearly to a number of clubs that wanted to get back into the Premier League that no change to the composition of the Premier League will be made until 2010. And therefore, we wanted to protect that number one competition. But the clubs were accepting of ACTAS to go into the PPL. The Capital Football under 15 boys will play in the Premier 18s, and the 14s, the Academy 14s, will play in a brand new Premier 16s competition, which is part of the whole development of the men's Premier League structure. So 14s will play in the under 16 comp, 15s in the under 18s, and ACTAS in PPL as clubs in their own right, playing for points, playing for the final.
Okay. Are there any problems? Like, obviously, you know, I suppose everybody knows the passion that volunteers and clubs put into their organisations. And if players are sort of chosen for the academy, say at 13, 14, and, you know, well, you know the story, Heather, where people have brought these, developed these players, and suddenly they go off to play for the academy, and then they're playing, for example, against Belconnen or Tuggeranong in the league. Is that going to be an issue, or you?
Not really. I think there are certainly some people out there who don't like the idea of players moving into the academy and the academy playing as a club in its own right in the league. But there's also others that weigh up the benefits for the individual player and his or her development compared to the development or the success of the club. And to some extent, you've got to be a little bit selfish and say, well, look, what is in the best interest of this player? Are we really wanting to provide players with an opportunity to go on and join the AIS or to get an overseas contract to go on to national teams? And if we're in that business, then we believe that the Capital Football Academy and ACTAS and AIS are the best placed in terms of the quality of coaches, the quality of facilities, the quality of other resources that are provided to these young people. And eventually, some of them may progress to the AIS, some may go on to the national team, some may go to A-League clubs, but there is always the current Premier League or the future Premier League structure as the pathway for players graduating out of those academy and ACTAS programs. And one of the criticisms, and this was highlighted in the review as well, was that some club officials feel that, you know, the academy and Capital Football and ACTAS just come in and take players away from them. And they don't see them again. And we would actually like to make sure that the clubs do, in fact, have access to the graduates from the academy and from ACTAS, bearing in mind that the academy program for the boys is only to age 15. The ACTAS goes primarily 15 and 16. So a whole range of boys that, you know, I could name right now have gone on to now play for Canberra City, the Woden Valleys, the Belconnens, and that in the P18s, in the PPL, and indeed even in the Premier League itself.
Okay, you've heard me, Heather, banging on about the A-League and why, in Dreamland, really, why Canberra needs an A-League team. I had a look at the review, and in that there was a beautiful diagram of the Brumbies pathway that was given an example where, you know, basically, and I suppose, I guess I'm talking about men's and women's football here in terms of an A-League. If you've got all the children that are playing football through to the academies in men's and women, if we've got a national team in the A-League competition for men and A-League for women, surely that kind of directs us with all our thinking much more purposefully. Can we have a team, and what role could Capital Football put in terms of the women and the men's A-League side?
I like to actually make a distinction, and I'm not really comfortable with calling it the women's A-League.
Okay.
I like to, the A-League itself has a brand and has an image, so let's call it the A-League. The A-League we know is for the, you know, the eight clubs that are running around now, the Sydneys and the Queenslands, etc.
Yep, yep.
That's the A-League, that's for men. I'd like to actually talk about a W-League.
Okay.
Let's call it a W-League.
So we've got a W-League and a men's A-League.
Yep. I think in terms of the A-League, first of all, because we know it's there and we know it's very, very rigid and it's very bound by regulation and a whole range of other things that FFA have imposed on it. First of all, there is no news from FFA about an expansion strategy.
But there will be one. Whether it's this year or in 5 years.
And secondly, then, there has been no direct role for state federations in putting together bids or franchise applications. That doesn't mean, however, that Capital Football is not supporting a bid. We are supporting a group called the Canberra A-League Foundation, which I think you've talked about here, and particularly people like Danny Moulos and a few others that are involved in that. And we will certainly provide any administrative management support that's required for that bid. It's a very tricky situation, because when you look at all of the other franchises, the Sydneys and the Melbournes and that, they all have their own individual setup in terms of their governance and management structure, whether they're companies limited by guarantee or whether they have shareholders, all of those sorts of things. I think our most appropriate model is the Central Coast Mariners model, which Nicole would probably be very happy to hear about that.
Delighted, no doubt.
Mariners. We're developing that link with Central Coast Mariners for a number of reasons. One is to provide one pathway for boys progressing to A-League, and particularly the youth league structure, but also so we can get a better understanding about what it means to be in the A-League and what it means to run an A-League club. We don't want to go back to the old days when we had a team in a national league competition and it was under-resourced, it was understaffed, it was under-financed.
No. So do you find, is it an aim for Capital Football, if there is an A-League or Danny Moulis or the A-League Foundation out there, do you see that Capital Football have a major role to play in support, not necessarily financial, but what sort of specific things would you be given to that bid if...
I think it would mainly be in the area of assisting in the whole talent development pathway and looking at what I think there's a great model in Victoria with the Victorian Football Federation and Melbourne Victory and the development of the academy programs, so that the academy programs are well supported by the A-League staff, the coaching staff, the assistant coaches, the managers, the players, etc., and we can provide access to our academy players to that level of player. And I'm talking about male and female players here as well. So if we have a team in a W League, I'd like to think that we'd get just as much support from a Laurie McKenna for the women's teams as we might be for the men's teams.
What about in terms of the grassroots support? Obviously, to me, the one thing and what a lot of people say is that if football people in Canberra support an A-League team, it can happen. But really, the only thing that brings that grassroots support together is Capital Football. Mm-hmm. Do you see a role there, Heather?
Through promotion, through advertising, through encouraging people to buy memberships the same way that they buy Brumbies membership. Last night I saw an ad on TV for Brumbies membership, and every Brumbies member I think gets a lovely scarf. Well, obviously we'd be helping to promote those sorts of things, and whether it's bumper stickers and giveaways and whatever we can possibly do to marshal the support of all 16,000 players and their families and their extended families and everybody else that they're in touch with every single day. We would certainly need to make sure that was done in a very effective manner. I think the other thing to bear in mind about this A-League level, W-League level, is it won't be just about sport. It will be about entertainment. And so that whatever games are put on, they have to be entertaining, they have to be exciting, they have to be interesting, and to some extent they have to be unpredictable. And I think we've seen that with the results of the A-League. I mean, who would have thought last week that we'd have one draw and three wins to the away teams?
That's right. I mean,
all away teams. I think we've only had one round of the A-League where the home teams, one round where all home teams have won.
Well, with the salary cap, I mean, obviously in England, Manchester United, Arsenal, Barcelona, Bayern, you know who's going to win, but in the A-League, you don't.
It's got to be unpredictable to keep people on their toes and keep it exciting and fresh.
With the Women's League, I mean, I imagine that we're closer to getting a W-League team coming. Would that be right in Canberra?
The National Technical Plan clearly says that the National Women's League at this stage is proposed to be based more around a federation-driven team with support from the NTC, which means it's similar to the old model of the Women's National League, where it was the federation with support of ACTAS putting together the team, calling for players. Now, I think we've got a lot of work to do here in terms of our women's team, and I think we're going to have to look further than the ACT to attract players to boost our numbers. We've got great players like Nicole and Gracie Gill and the Chappies and others here, but we're going to have to go wider than that if we're going to be competitive with Sydney and Newcastle and Queensland particularly. We've already seen the engagement of players from Sydney, Newcastle and Brisbane in this A-League Women's Challenge thing. I want to start looking for players from the USA, perhaps from New Zealand and perhaps even from Asia to come to Canberra for the 3 or 4 months that the W League will be on. We'll provide them with some work and we'll provide them with other opportunities to help boost the women's game. But we will need a much deeper pool of talented players to draw on if we're going to be truly successful in the W League.
So from you're talking there to the FFA, they're obviously going ahead for next season. Is that your understanding?
There hasn't been anything announced, but I believe that they are focusing on a six-team competition initially.
Including Canberra?
Which would include Canberra.
Right, okay.
Based around federation support. Funding to be largely driven by FFA, and hopefully if the new Labor government sticks to its promise, it'll be receiving financial support, sponsorship from the federal government. My understanding also is that we're very close to some arrangement with the national broadcaster on free-to-air TV.
Fantastic. That would be great, wouldn't it?
We will need to get a big sponsor. We've had good support before from groups like Project Coordination, but we need to know sooner than later what the flesh on the bones is going to look like so that we can start moving very, very soon.
When would that start? September, October?
I think they'll try and align it with the A-League, so it'll be a similar season, probably October through to March. If it's six teams, it could possibly only be two rounds. If they squeeze in three rounds, that'd be terrific, but it would be based at home and away. I would suggest that... it's Nicole getting her call up for another team, I think.
Yeah, don't play for Canberra, Nicole.
I think it'll be a fairly short, sharp sort of season, but I think whenever we do it, it's got to be done properly and it's got to be something that, again, is a very attractive product for television coverage, so that we don't have people go, oh, gee, that was pretty ordinary, wasn't it? And my benchmark is actually to do something bigger and better than the National Basketball League.
Okay, it's certainly a great time for women's football, the growth of women's football, with the Matildas. They've got another Asian Cup next year, and if we can get the National League up and running, certainly you'd think a great time for a sponsor to get involved with women's football, because the number of women are playing, a number of girls that are playing, for, you know, a sponsor to get involved.
From a national point of view, I think that's true, but even FFA marketing people will tell you how difficult it's been for them to try and get a sponsor for the Matildas. The critical element from my point of view for the National League and a sponsor will be making sure we've got television coverage, because the sponsor will want to have their name, their product, on TV on a regular basis. It's no longer feasible to expect a sponsor to put in $50,000, $60,000 just to put their name on their shirt and have a bit of signage at the ground.
No.
They, you know, to sell widgets, to sell some sort of product, that's fine. And we know that right across the board. That will be the same with the team from Canberra in the A-League. They'll need to get significant television coverage, and the A-League bid will have to be supported by individuals, by the community, signing up $100, $200 as individual members, like all of us here would be doing.
Oh, we're all keen. We're all keen, aren't we? Yeah.
Bring it on.
Bring it on. Okay, I've got a question, Heather, that just been texted in. The Curver, I know we've had Curver Coaching has linked in with the Capital Football. For the first time in, that we've actually got an academy for the 9s, 10s and 11s. So that I guess that shows the commitment and concern for the development of our younger players. Mm-hmm. The question I have here is Curver a true representation of the ACT Academy best players?
No, it's not. So it's only a stepping stone. It's one of many opportunities that players have. We found that when players were coming along to academy trials, and we were having trials for 11, 12, 13-year-olds over the last few years, some of them really didn't have the basic ball skill that would put them in a good position to maintain a place within an academy team. Basic ball skills, touches on the ball, the feel of the ball on the body, all of those sorts of things. And so what we have done is finalised an agreement with Curver Coaching that will help develop the individual skills of the players so that they're much more familiar and comfortable on the ball, that they know how to pass the ball, they know how to control the ball, all of those sorts of things. And this is something that's been in the background for a long time, Eamon, in terms of Curver wanting to support player development. And we just see it as one of many, many platforms. It doesn't preclude kids from going off and being part of the Blue Devils coaching clinics or any other coaching clinics that are going around, but we wanted to tie it in so that we can actually also educate the Curver coaches about the academy style of play and the academy philosophy, which is similar to the AIS. So it's, I see it as a very good mutual fit.
And I guess, I know talking to some people, they've been concerned about the cost, but I mean, you know, the argument, I suppose, is that if you want piano lessons or any other lessons these days, parents are prepared to pay. And
we're keeping a very close eye on the cost, and in fact, we're reducing the costs all the time. And in fact, I met with Jason Lentzer today from Curver Coaching ACT, and he's very mindful of taking out a few of the what might be seen as the more window dressing kind of things, like all the kids get, the jacket, the shirt, all those bits and pieces. So we're going to really look at streamlining some of those things so that we keep the cost lower. And I have to say, this is the first time as well. We've just finished the first phase of the academy and the trials for next year's programs. Kids didn't have to pay anything. There was no charge for the kids to come along to this intake for next year's 2008 academy program.
Well, it's certainly, you've got a busy job, Heather. You've taken the job on at a fantastic time, growth for Australian football. And, what next? I believe next you've got to sort out the futsal.
That's right. Next year we'll be doing a review into the futsal management. We acquired Futsal Holus Bolus in March this year, and we've got a lot of work to do in terms of looking at a restructure for futsal and boosting the resources. We've just finished our end of financial year, and I have to say we're in a very healthy financial state, so we'll be able to invest a bit of money into all areas of the sport, but particularly we need to focus on some issues to do with futsal. And we also want to rebuild revisit our own strategic plan now that we've got the national development plan on the table. So it's just, for me, 6 weeks holiday, recharge the batteries, and then
head down,
full steam ahead from February onwards. Don't forget, we are hosting the National Futsal Championships as well from the 7th to the 11th of January.
The Near Post, get there first. The Near Post, get there first.
Hi, I'm Gail, and I met my man playing football. We listen to the Near Post.
Near Post, get there first. The Near Post.
We're talking to Heather Reid, Chief Executive Officer of Capital Football. Heather, yeah, we're just saying there that you've got a fantastic workload. We've had some huge changes in football, but we really appreciate you coming in taking the time to talk through some of the issues. I'm sure we're going to have to get back in because we've got a whole heap of more questions. But we'll let you have your 6 week break.
You didn't even talk about my award.
I mean, we were going to go all we never got near it. So
that's the fun of radio, Eamon, and I'd be more than happy to come back in the new year.
Okay, well, great. Well, it's great to have a radio show that we can actually talk about some football finally.
Absolutely. And congratulations to you and the team too. And Capital Football is very pleased to be able to support the Near Post.
And thanks for your support. Okay, we're just going to wrap up with a couple of local football announcements. We've got the, as Heather mentioned, the Futsal Championships are coming up in January, and we'll have a couple of people in from the Futsal Championships when it's on. Nicole, what else is going on?
Majuro Junior Soccer Club is looking for a new director of coaching for the 2008 season. It's a paid position, so people are interested. If you get in contact with Scott McWilliam, and his email address is scottmack@web1.com.au. That's scottmack@web1.com.au. There's a Capital Football endorsed coaching clinic held on, starting on the 21st of January at Hawker Oval. It's run by Curva Coaching. So if you want to get involved in that, or your kids get some training during the preseason for your kids, you can contact Curva Coaching at contact@curvaact.com.au. That's contact@curvaact.com.au.
Okay, and any more? Stevie Bryant, a local football celebrity, was in the he was in the Daily Telegraph today on Football Fever. Can't let it go without mentioning Steve. He wrote 250 words about on why going through into Asia for Australian the Socceroos might actually be a concern, because we've actually got to play some games to qualify. I didn't agree with Steve, but great comment, and great to see somebody else writing about football in Canberra and across Australia. So good on you, Stevie B.
Yeah. A couple of Canberra players involved in football over the weekend. In the Women's A-League Challenge, there was Amy Chapman, Caitlin Munoz and Sally Shippard who played. Sally and Caitlin played for Sydney FC, and Amy Chapman played for Queensland Raw.
And I think I have an answer for the quiz.
Oh, fantastic. So the quiz question was, just remind people, name four Australians playing in Italy.
Now, I have three.
No. We don't even want to know. We've only got three. Go on, we'll give us three.
Vince Grella,
yeah, I'll give you that one.
Marco Bresciano. And our very own, go on, you say it.
Carl Valeri. From Toggerong United. Absolutely. Our very own, playing with Grosseto in Serie B. So that's three, that's not bad.
That's not bad.
Unfortunately.
I didn't have the answer either, so.
Well, last week, it's the same answer. Last week the answer was Zeljko Kalic, and the fourth player is Zeljko Kalic, and he just won a Club World Championship medal.
He did.
Becoming the second Australian to win the Club World Club Championship medal. The other one being another goalkeeper.
Oh, is it Zeljko again, because he's won it?
No.
And did he win it twice? I don't know.
No, the answer is...
Mark Bozo Bosnic
with Manchester United. He won it. So two keepers there. I think Heather got that. Heather, no, didn't get it all right. Okay.
No, I'm saying it's also Angela Iannotta played with the ACT. Comes from Albury. Iannotta.
So that's five players who played in Italy. So and I mean, I'm sure there's more. There's Jess Van Straten and a whole heap of others.
Plays for Juventus.
You only had to name four. That was it. Okay, so played for Juve, your team.
He does.
Okay, coming up in a minute, we've got the Spanish show, and they no doubt will be talking about more football, I imagine. I don't know whether they will.
So.
Thanks to Capital Football for their support. Nicole, Arif, Heather Reid, thank you for joining us. And great to have you in. And wherever you are, whatever you're doing, if you're out there before Christmas getting some... working off some energy, whatever oval you're playing on, if you're going to the Near Post,
get there first.
Great. Thanks very much, guys. Cheers.
The near post, get there first.
2XX FM 98.3.
Diversity in programming, local news and information, and support for local artists are just some of the reasons why people listen to community radio. But exactly how many people are listening? Respected research firm McNair Ingenuity conducted a national survey on behalf of the community broadcasting sector and found that each month across Australia, a whopping 7 million people listen to community radio stations just like this one. Community Radio, serving the community through 300